Yeah, welcome back. You're with Jimmy Smith and Jimmy Magnuson, the double J's.
Did you ever get Jimmy?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
A little bit. Yeah, I've got a million nicknames. Jimmy, Maggie. Some of our listeners call me the Nerf Dart.
The Nerf Dart?
Yeah, there's a few. There's a few.
Explain that one.
Just a reference to the missile.
Ah.
Bullet, missile, Nerf Dart, potato gun. Now, we've been telling you about SEN Survivor. You just have to pick one NRL game each week for the chance to win $2,500. Head to sensurvivor.com.au, and that's all thanks to our friends at Brighton's Lawyers.
Very good. Time now to have a further sports update with Michelle Bishop.
And now on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, a sports update with Michelle Bishop.
Now, this is a good one, Michelle. Freddie Fittler, and we know that, you know, you can get a run in the semi-finals and into a grand final and people put their hands up for kangaroo tours or Rugby League World Cup as it is this year. But Freddie's saying, game three, all on the line. I like this.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's more than the series at stake heading to Brisbane. So Fittler's declared this game as crucial in terms of how the kangaroo side will shape ahead of the World Cup. So spots are well and truly up for grabs. Cam Munster and James Tedesco have to be certain starters, but I think that's where he's sort of indicated that it stops. And what I want to ask this morning is, where does that leave the likes of Jack Whiten, Latrell Mitchell, Ryan Pappenhausen, if they don't get a chance to play,
if they're not included?
So this is really concerning. And remember, Freddie, along with Mal Meninga, Billy Slater, and of course Peter Vallandis, the Commission Chairman, are all part of that selection panel. So we're not hearing from Joe Blow down the road. And Freddie believes almost every spot is there for the taking this time round, obviously, as I said, with the exception of Tedesco and Cam Munster. And that is why this game is so, you know, so vital. Everything is absolutely well and truly on the line. So does this mean that Nathan Cleary has to have another complete blinder to get the nod? Like it's a curly one, this one.
Yeah, surely not. If they don't pick Cleary at halfback, people will be burning down effigies of Mal Meninga.
I don't think in Queensland they would be.
No. I think it's really interesting. So if you go, okay, well, DCE might have a game in the finals, maybe two. Nathan's going to play three.
Yeah.
Probably, including a grand final. The other one is, look at fullback. If you go, right, automatically Tedesco, maybe even captain, and then you go Kalen Ponga, but he won't play finals. Ryan Pappenhausen plays in the finals and gets Clive Churchill medal in the grand final again. How do you leave him out?
Yeah, good point.
That's the point.
Interesting. What about Nick Kyrgios? Has he come out in defence of Nick Kyrgios?
Of course he has. 5-set tussle against a British qualifier, Paul Jupp, and it was full of entertaining moments, let me tell you. So Kyrgios pulling out all sorts of antics right across the morning, calling the line judge a snitch, fighting with the chair umpire, but the big woman was, of course, spitting in the direction of fans and admitting after the match that he actually did it. So he's argued that spectators' behaviour in this particular incident was disrespectful. And he's gone on further to say that those type of fans are getting out of hand and something needs to be done. So I guess that's the way he's dealt with it. He's also said he caught racist comments. It's been quite the show this morning at Wimbledon. Victories to other Aussies, though, which we have to give a mention to, which I'm delighted to. Kyrgios always stealing the limelight. Alex Demidov won his match. Jordan Thompson, clinical display from him. Jelena Tomljanovic, she won. And, of course, Jason Kubler. Now, that's just such an interesting story. A young kid, 3 months ago, he was just sitting outside the top 200 in the world.
Wow.
He's now had battled some injuries and stuff, and he's now 90 in the world. So well done to him.
So good. Now, the Matildas have played overnight. Can you give us a wrap on them?
A late equaliser. They're sharing the spoils this morning. It's left the Matildas shattered. Now, we're just a year away now from the Women's World Cup, which is going to be played on home soil. So that disastrous outing on Wednesday morning as well, 7-0 at the hands of Spain. Bit of perspective, Portugal's ranked almost 20 places behind Australia. So substitute Princess Ebony got the first international goal in the 73rd minute. She scored that against the run of play for the Matildas. They were outplayed, guys, for much of the match. Very lucky to escape with what they did. They were spared a red card by a referee blunder. The ref handed the wrong Australian player a yellow card. So in a nutshell, defender Courtney Nevin was already on a yellow card. So if she had a cop that yellow card, she would have been sent off. Yeah. What's next for the Matildas? Well, two matches on home soil now early in September against Canada. And we all know that they claim gold at the Tokyo Olympics. You know, we've had almost every England-based player, so all our top guns, rested from this particular camp. I guess that's our only saving grace. But it really asks some big questions about the lack of depth in the squad moving forward.
Yeah. Hard to replace someone like Sam Kerr, right? Arguably best player on the planet. More interested in enjoying the State of Origin over at Optus Stadium, which is fair enough too.
I can understand that.
Exactly.
I stand with Sam Kerr.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Michelle, thank you. Enjoy your day. Stay warm. And we'll speak again tomorrow.
Speak tomorrow, guys.
There is Michelle Bishop from Channel 7. Just before we go, hey, boys, if Mal picks DCE over Cleary, that'll do me! Because Rostog had it in capital, so we wanted to do that, Rostog.